You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Sticking with full year numbers, we're going to take a look at the performance of Netcare. They gave us a full year update as well, and we're joined on the line by the Netcare CEO, Dr. Richard Friedland, to take a look at the company's performance and see if we can make sense of it. Good evening, Dr. Friedland. Lovely to catch up with you as always. Seemingly a good second half of the year, but also a good year overall. Reflecting on the year, the numbers look quite positive across all metrics. Revenue up 6.3% from last year. If we look at headline earnings per share, that's up more than 16%. Are you happy with the performance as a group and as a management team?
Yes, thank you very, very much, Jimmy. I think you've summarized it. A difficult first half, but overall a very pleasing result for the entire year. And a year that we witnessed hyperinflationary environment and a challenging macroeconomic environment. And so one of the highlights of our results was we were able to return to shareholders some 1.6 billion rand in dividends and share buybacks. So overall, a very positive year in terms of that.
Dr. Friedland, let's look at the challenges that the business had to go through. I mean, obviously the macro conditions are out of your control, market conditions, whatever's happening there, there's very little that you can do about it. But some of the challenges within the business's purview, I mean, that you have been able to control, you've controlled what you can as best as you can. And those macro factors, things like your paid patient days being affected, the consumer being under pressure, how are you seeing the macro environment that you operate in at the moment, and is it kind of better than what it was, say, this time last year?
I don't think it's better. Certainly, Jimmy, sentiment has improved in our country since the election. I think very few people, if any, would have seen a government of national unity emerging, and I think that as a result, we seem to be in a far more stable and positive environment. That's yet to translate into the numbers. I think what's been disappointing is that we've had to experience very significant hyperinflationary increases in electricity and water and other costs, and it's very difficult to maintain one's margins with input costs well above CPI. And I think of electricity in particular. We ourselves as a company have been running a sustainability program for 10 years, so an environmental sustainability program. So we've reduced our energy footprint by 40%, and I shudder to think of those companies that have yet to do that and the kind of costs, because we feel those costs. And if you looked at our results, our diesel costs were down substantially because we didn't have load shedding, but that benefit was more than offset by the hyperinflationary tariffs from Eskom.
Dr. Friedland, I want to take a look at the paid patient days. Obviously, that is a concerning metric or concerning thing for you in the healthcare space, to see that people are opting to self-medicate more, take on fewer hospital visits. It definitely does affect the numbers on your side. Are you seeing this as a strained consumer, or potentially the start of a new trend that could be around in your sector for a lot longer than what is expected?
Yeah, I think it's both. But just to correct one thing, we're not seeing this in the hospital division. When people are sick and they need hospitalization, they get hospitalized. We're seeing this, Jimmy, at the primary care level, where people are saying, instead of going to a GP or a primary care practitioner, you know, let me buy something off the shelf or off the counter. And they're doing that. And I think a lot of that arose during COVID, really, where people became far more self-sufficient and resilient. And I think the second element is the one you referred to, is the pressure on disposable income. The way medical aids are structured, often these benefits are taken out of one's medical aid savings account, and certainly those often get depleted, and so they've got to rely on disposable income. And I think that's what we're seeing at a primary care level. We haven't seen that filter through at where the bulk of our operations are, which are hospitals.
On the hospital side of it, there was a time, I think back to probably in the height of the pandemic and sort of coming out of 2020 into 2021, where elective surgeries were put on hold because of the travel restrictions and all of that. Has that sector or that segment of the business rebounded to sort of pre-pandemic levels?
It certainly has rebounded. I wouldn't say to you, you know, there was a feeling in the market that all of that pent-up demand would come back. But it didn't really manifest in that regard. We were particularly badly hit as Netcare because we literally opened our doors to all COVID patients. There were many other hospitals or hospital groups that limited the amount of COVID cases and kept elective surgery going. We felt duty-bound to treat as many COVID patients. At one stage, we had over 4,000 COVID patients in our hospitals. So it did take a while to recover, and I'm pleased to say that we have seen that recovery coming through, and we're now experiencing occupancy in the last 6 months higher than it was in 2019.
Dr. Friedland, I want to take a look at the digitization efforts. I mean, the business has obviously taken this as a unique opportunity coming out of the pandemic to modernize the business or move through certain things and streamline certain things. And digitization has been a big focus for the business. Can you take me through what's been happening on that side from a strategy point of view and just how it's made you more efficient in your operations?
You know, thank you for that, Jimmy. It's an excellent question. In 2018, we embarked on a 10-year strategy of person-centered health and care, digitally enabled and data-driven. And we were really piggybacking off these global healthcare megatrends of customer centricity, digitization, and data. And the first phase took us 6 years. It should have taken us 4 years, but we were delayed through COVID. And effectively, we put in electronic medical records for patients across all of our 7 clinical platforms, hospitals, primary care, cancer emergency services, our mental health services, national renal care. And the important part there was to provide these records, but also with digitization comes enormous operational efficiency. And what we show today is that you know, we saved over 331 million rand in cash costs and cost avoidance. We produced an IRR of more than 23%. This year alone, we saved 190 million rand versus our budget of 120 million rand on digitization, cost avoidance, or cash savings. And it's now enabled the second phase, which is to say we're now producing an enormous amount of data. 46 gigabytes of clinical data a day. How do we best utilize that to improve patient experience, safety, reduce complications, and have better outcomes and reduce the clinical cost of medicine? And so that's the next phase, and we've just been introducing a big data analytics platform to take advantage of that. And the next phase is person-centered, where we're giving people their records and hopefully educating them as to the importance of their conditions and how best to manage them.
It's always nice to see these things happen. We often discuss them, but it's always nice to see them in action and coming to fruition. I want to take a look at something else, Dr. Friedland. The interim dividend, or actually the final dividend from the business's perspective, interim dividend kept consistent with last year, final dividend upped at this point. And you touched on this earlier to say that returning 1.6 billion rand in dividends and share buybacks and other value to shareholders, that's not a small feat to achieve, especially when you're dealing with the tough macro environment, you're dealing with conditions that might be beyond your control. How do you keep that in line with, one, the dividend policy, obviously, but two, making sure that shareholders can still see that you're prioritizing them and you're prioritizing the business?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, and it really goes to our policy in this regard. We have a policy of paying out between 50 and 70% of our profits to shareholders. In the absence of new acquisitions or other strategic initiatives, we look to reward shareholders either in terms of a special dividend or a share buyback. We tend to look at share buybacks because we believe that's of value longer term and accretive. And in this instance, we paid out 61% of our profits to shareholders, and we were able to embark on a very extensive buyback program. You know, if you look at the we started this buyback program in September of 2023. In total, we've purchased 5.9% of our shares back. And if you look at the dividend we've now just released, that's over $2 billion to shareholders. But I suppose the most important reason for this is we're very cash generative. And, you know, we didn't have to increase our debt. It increased by about $278 million. But our debt to EBITDA ratio remained at 1.2 times, so it remained unchanged. So we were able to fund this off our balance sheet without, you know, drowning the company in debt, as it were. In fact, our ratio remained the same.
Astute management and very good strategic decisions. That's how companies perform well. Thank you so much for that update, Dr. Friedland. Dr. Richard Friedland, CEO at Netcare, on the company's performance for the full year that was ended September 2024 and what we make of that performance.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.